Welcome to the Living Word with Chuck Davis.
The Beast, Revelation 13, 1-18. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over the tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. That is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Wow, now this becomes very graphic. We have this red dragon doing battle, and then these 2 beasts that seem to be puppet powers of the dragon. One a land beast and the other a sea beast. Reading Daryl Johnson and Gorman in his commentary, they liken these 3 to a false trinity, a dragon and 2 beasts, who have put all their force and hatred against Jesus and works against them. We see blasphemies. We see mimicry. Look at all of the different images that are very similar to Trinity images. There's an authority flow. John tells us in his letter that Satan is the ruler of this world. And the dragon, in verse 2, gives authority to the sea beast. He becomes the incarnation of the satanic power on this earth. In verse 7, authority is given to the first beast, and there's a recognition of it. In verse 11, authority to the second beast. It continues to flow forward. He speaks like a dragon and makes worship possible to the first beast. This sounds very mimicking of how the Holy Spirit is present to point to Christ. We hear this in the ancient doctrine. Father begets Son, Son generates the Spirit, and the Spirit glorifies the Son. There's an authority flow here, but now Satan mimics it. And in his stolen authority that he took from us, he initiates it on this earth. Some commentators have tried to identify what is the first and second beast. I'm choosing not to. What I'm seeing is evil personified in an unholy, dark kingdom. Gorman suggests that it's Rome's political, economic, and religious system. And I would add, not just Rome, but every empire that follows in that way, including America. It's the use of power and force, the antithesis of the slain lamb. The number 666 is number for humanity in symbolism. Three of them is a number of perfection. It's the best that man can put forward. It's a parody of 777, which is true perfection. Interestingly, those who follow the dark kingdom become identified with the dark kingdom. Those who follow the lamb who was slain have the Father and the Son, the Lamb, on their forehead as being the one who they identify with and who's identified them. It's not the last image we're going to get of the movements. Babylon is going to be the great harlot in chapter 17 and 18. But it's a reminder to us that there's a lot going against us. I've said this in other podcasts and in multiple settings. The Bible is not primarily a love letter of God from us. It's a war manual. It explains to us why it's so hard to live a kingdom existence. I got to imagine that some of you are listening to this and saying, day after day, when is the struggle ever going to end? It feels like we never end. Well, Satan doesn't end, and so the battle goes on. Gorman, in his commentary, says, we're messianic warriors, but we need to remember, we're messianic warriors in the Jesus way. Remember, the Lion of Judah looks like the Lamb who was slain. Gorman gives us what I think are some great now what's to this section. He says, keep your attention, look and listen. Continue to engage what counters the kingdom of darkness, worship and witness. And then he gives us powerful declaration, come out and resist. He calls it uncivil subversion. That we are people who have a suspicion of all of the other power structures that are around us, a healthy suspicion, not a cynical suspicion, but a healthy suspicion, so that we don't allow anything to get between us and our kingdom of God allegiance. Yes, there's a great power that has been set against us, but we are ones who are overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The pastoral moment is found in the midst of this when John gives us these words that are coming from the Lord Jesus himself. Here is a call for endurance and faith of the saints. Lord, would you release endurance and perseverance in us today? And would you give us faith that is marked by hope because we know how the story ends. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.